This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the One Was Had a Dream podcast. My name is Lee Finch, and as ever, we will be joined by Danny Baker. There is no special guest this weekend, but if you do want to come on to the podcast, then please drop us a message and we'd love to get you on to discuss everything Wimbledon. So tonight or today, we're going to be discussing Mike Buckley. He has now become our CEO. We're also going to discuss some transfers. Is it going to be one out, a couple in before the window closes? We'll go over Barrow and what the club has done with regards to free tickets. But first off, we'll be discussing, continuing the discussion we have with Mike Hummer and just me and Danny discussing youth team players, some of the best youth team players we've got, and maybe if we can field a homegrown 11. And I'll introduce our guest, which is Danny Baker. How are we, mate? You all right?
I'm absolutely marvellous. It's bloody hot this today. And I've been, we've been running around. We've got the little one. And looking at nurseries, which has been a bit fun, sort of like it's a bit weird because obviously you've been having looked after for so long, looking at nurseries. My question tonight, Lee, how old, you've brought your kids to football, right?
Yes.
How old do you think is an age suitable for to bring your kids to football? What did you, what were the things that you needed to see for them to come? Because I'm looking at Dolly thinking, I'd love to bring her to a Christmas game. But then I was like, no, she can't even stand up straight. Yeah, what do you do?
I took Ethan when he was, I don't know how old he was. He was about 10, 11 months, I think, when he first
played the
game. When his first game, he had the old ear protectors on and everything like that. He kind of, he was 10 months old when he came. Yeah, 10 months when first game. He hasn't come to a game since and don't really like football too much. It was Wickham at home, so probably.
Oh, Jesus,
Pick your game. Kind of, I don't really take him as much when I really should. It's one of the things I'm
How old is Ethan now?
He's six.
Oh, right. But okay.
He's more into computer games than he is into football. Where my firstborn, Jack, I didn't really have a choice. I split up with his mum and was like, what do I do with him at weekends when I had him? And I was like, I don't really want to miss the game. He was living in Wimbledon. So I was like, right, I'm going to take him to watch Wimbledon. And sometimes he'd fall asleep during the games. Sometimes he'd get bored and tell me he don't want to support Wimbledon anymore. There was one game I think I remember taking him. It was Cheltenham at home. We won 5-3. But I think we were 3-1 down.
Yeah.
And he turned around to all of us and said, I've had enough of this club. I'm not supporting it anymore. Like we do pretty much every week. And then said, my friends all support Chelsea and they're winning. Like, as you do as like 4-year-old.
That must be a mental conversation to have. Because like if you look at it from a rational point of view, we're like, my dad was like, you know what? You can pick your wife and you can pick your mates, but we support Wimbledon. And on a Saturday, we go and do this and your brother's coming and we go and then we come home. We do what you like the rest of the weekend, but this is what we do. But then when you get a kid who's getting to the point, it's like, Dad, look, Chelsea are clearly winning all these matches and Wimbledon don't. I don't understand why we don't want to watch them. It must be quite an interesting conversation.
Well, he now lives in Melton Mowbray, where they make pork pies. And most of his friends are Leicester fans. And they didn't really have much to say to him about it until they won the Premier League. So obviously you can't come back if you don't win nothing because they went and won the Premier League. But most of them don't go and watch live football. Where he says to him, I go and watch my team live. Like he's 13 now and he loves it. He come Hartlepool away with me the other week. And he loves it. He goes and watches, he sings, he gets involved. And he loves going to watch live games, which is, I think, what most like football is about. Like, don't get wrong, Ethan, he supports Wimbledon, as he calls them.
Yeah,
if you asked him what football team he was, he'd probably wind me up and say not Wimbledon. But I'll tell him Wimbledon won 2-0 Saturday, and he's like, oh, great. I don't really care, to be fair. And the little one, he's coming up to 11 months. He hasn't been to a game yet. I know he has been to a game, actually. He did come to a game. He came to Guiseley in the FA Cup. I don't know.
Plough Lane, must have been.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
So how did you take him then? What, in the buggy?
Yeah, they've got a buggy park at the game, at the ground.
Are they really?
Yeah, there's a buggy park.
This is a game changer. I didn't know this.
There is now. I didn't know where it was.
So you just took the buggy, buggied up, and away you go.
We're obviously good friends with Matt Haylock now. He's come on the pod, and he... I spoke to him previously, and he said, just bring it into the club shop, and he put it into one of the storage rooms. And then we took him in one of them baby holders.
Yeah.
So, and then he had the big ear. Bad Sonic. I wouldn't stand in the south stand, mate, if you know what I mean, if I was taking Dolly, like
I fall asleep, eh?
Well, no, it's all just, that chanting. It's quite ruckus in there, isn't it? Well, it's not really. I've seen
it. Well, we analyse the game, we observe it, we talk about it.
But because it's standing as well, and you're going to stand with her on you, it'd be a bit much. But go for a seat and then take her in the hold all. That's what
I remember seeing a guy in the south side with taking the bubby in one of the holders. I was like, I can't imagine taking Dolly to the game. But now I'm like thinking, because I was talking about it because we took our nephew there and he absolutely loved, like, just like you were talking about Jack, he literally didn't really know what was going on. And then all of a sudden he just loved it. But it'd be interesting to see when people took their, I remember my first game. I remember a few others. Most people I speak to are sort of between sort of 4 and 6, where they go for the first time, they go once a year and they get a little sort of taster. So, yeah, I'll have a look. I'll see if I can convince
Baker. I didn't get into football until I was about 12, 13. So my family hated football. Mum had no interest in it at all. I only started going with my mates when I went to kind of like senior school. And we used to go watch non-league football. Didn't have a club to support when I was like 12. No one really did. My mate pulled his club out of the hat at 12. He put all 92 clubs in at a time.
Oh, God.
He got Wickham. He still supports Wickham, goes home and away with them now. Then I got taken to Wimbledon.
Oh, that's a twist of fate, isn't it? Like, you could have had Grimsby and be like,
lucky enough, he got not a decent side, but at least it was kind of local. And then I got taken to Wimbledon versus Liverpool in what would have been the Coca-Cola Cup game then, when Hans Sager's punched into his own goal.
Yep.
And then saves a John Barnes last minute penalty.
That's it.
Then we well known penalties and done the aeroplane celebration. And I was like, I love this. Absolutely love it. And then when I got to 15, 16, I started going home and away, started going on the trains and then meeting Wimbledon fans. And then when I got to 21, I moved to Wimbledon.
So how important do you feel like the first game was? Like, if the first game was pants, the reason why I'm bringing it up, I know we're going to talk about the academy, but I'm just thinking ahead and forgive me for jumping ever so slightly, but obviously the fans doing the thing with giving out some tickets at the Barrow game. How important do you feel then that game is to make sure if it's a good game, is it that important to keep people coming? Or
I think it's everything really, because if say I'd gone to the game as a 12-year-old boy and it had been loads of violence and stuff,
then you'd have been back next week and you'd been sold up and away you go.
No, but like the language didn't bother me so much because, do you know what I mean, as a 12-year-old kid and you hear someone say, fuck off, ref. You're like, can I say that? And then, do you know what I mean? And he's like, no, you can't. And then, do you know what I mean? Well, I once remember taking Jack. He was only about 8 and we were watching the game and it was all getting a bit heated. And he was like, Dad, because I said to him, like, when you say to your kids, you're at football, you're going to hear some bad language. It doesn't go anywhere other than football. It happens at football.
It stays there.
The players say bad language. You can't really say the fans shouldn't say it when you've seen players doing it.
Yeah. Right?
And then he went, oh, Dad, something was going on in the game. I was writing. He said, Dad, can I have a go at the ref? I said, you just tell him. And he, out of nowhere, it went really quiet. It was no context beyond it. He just went, fuck off, ref. And I was like, everyone looked around. I was like, you can't do that. And he's like, well, you told me you're going to hear certain, like bad language at football and stuff. And I was like, No. Trying to explain the situation to him, but because you've got to have some context behind it. Do you know what I mean? Like, but yeah, he just said it out of the blue. But I don't know if the match matters so much. I think it's.
The day out's got to be good in terms of what you're offering and stuff like that.
And I think that's where we've said before. I think Wimbledon are doing very well at the moment with the to get kids and the younger people involved is that you've got the bar that's good now, you've got the seating area, you've got the food trucks, you've also got the what are they called? The people doing the you try and score
the
in
foundation
the
and stuff, yeah. Doing all that stuff.
It. Yeah, Maddie and people like that from the foundation are doing really good stuff. The women's team were down the other weeks meeting fans, and do you know what I mean? I stayed away from them, but it's you've got all that stuff going on, and do you know what I mean? So it gets people interacting, and you've got a young girl or a young boy who are meeting people that then become the heroes. And this is another point we were going to say another time, another podcast was. Like footballers used to be our heroes, kind of thing.
They're yeah, absolutely.
Anymore. I don't see people. They aren't. Not to me. As you get older, but as young kids, they look up to the footballers and stuff like that. I don't know if it's the same anymore. If there's 13
that's
or 14.
That is a good question. But just, it was an interesting talking about youth and linking it in with obviously the last pod. I thought I was well done for getting Michael on. I thought it was really, really good.
I saw Michael on Saturday, actually, after the call game. Yeah. But good-looking lad, mate. Buff as anything. Do you know what I mean? I was like,
must be looking in the mirror, mate.
Yeah. I was looking at me flexing. Just
it was good, wasn't it? It was a really interesting chat, and the way that he kind of articulated things was hopefully gave everyone some clarity.
Could have been
good.
Better if his Zoom was working better and he weren't using dial-up and he was using Wi-Fi or something, but I don't know where he lives. But
it was probably... getting us thinking, wasn't it? It was getting us thinking about how many really, really good young players we've had. Because, like I said, you have these big conversations about this, you know, the Brentford B versus an academy. And I still feel that we generate enough quality in the academy to make it worthwhile. But I can see why other clubs are kind of drifting away. But I do feel that while we're churning out decent players, the academy definitely seems to be the way forward.
I think it depends on what level you get to. So if you're in the Premier League or Championship, maybe an academy probably don't work for you because you can... Do you know what I mean? You go down at Brentford B line. Do you know what I mean? And other teams are starting to do that now. Birmingham, I think, are the same. Do you know what I mean? And they've turned out some good players in the Bellinghams.
Yeah.
I think at our level, I think finding our youth players, like we're going to go on some of the ones that we have found previously. Some of the players, I think some people won't realise that actually they came for our youth team. And I said, like speaking to Mike, what I like about Michael and I like about a lot of the people, and you know Kevin from the women's team, is the passion they have for Wimbledon as well as the game. So Michael is really passionate about doing well for Wimbledon and doing, do you know what I mean? He might have aspirations to become Man U Academy manager one day, but he's not going to do that if he's not doing anything at AFC Wimbledon. If you're not getting players, you know what I mean? It's like any job, you don't do well.
I think that's the one thing that comes across is that when you've got like a Premier League player for Chelsea, Man United, Arsenal, there's enough glitter at the end to go, I want to play there. If you were playing for Burton or Cheltenham, you don't necessarily see kids grow up going, I'm desperately wanting to play for Burton Albion or Cheltenham. But Wimbledon players, youngsters, they seem to want to do that. There seems to be enough of a great story and enough of a pedigree for them to come through and go, I want to play at Wimbledon. But you don't necessarily see that everywhere else.
You also got to remember that we're in London. So we're in a large catchment area, where, especially in Southwest London as well, where you've got Chelsea have got, hundreds of youth teams and youth players.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And as I said to Michael, I get fed up with youth teams because you've got the academy, but then you've got these shadow squads underneath where you've got pretty much an all year round summer school that people go. As I said, I used to coach Sunday level here at under 13s, nothing major, but you talk to people and he goes, yeah, my boy's at Chelsea on Tuesday and Wednesdays. You're like, oh, really? And yeah, I pay £45 a month for it. It's like, well, your boy's not at an academy then. He's just, you're paying for Chelsea's academy, pretty much. That's how they keep
Southend. Paying for a label, aren't you, really?
Yeah, Southend, you're paying for their academy players. Do you know what I mean? To come in from all over the country and put them in housing and stuff like that. You're paying for that. Your kid's not at that academy.
So looking at Wimbledon then, in terms of our history, should we try and map a half-decent 11?
Well, yeah, the one you're going to start with goalkeeper, and I think that's quite an easy choice, even though we've had quite a good number. If you look...
Mannion,
Will Mannion.
Matt Cox
is going to be number one, I think, isn't he? Has to be.
Well, I would. It depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for someone who's played a lot of first team football, then Joe Bursic is going to be right up there. If you're talking about longevity and the possibility of going really, really, really far, then you would probably nudge Cox. But is Bursic playing much?
Plays for Stoke, mate, and they rate him at 30 million.
Is he playing for Stoke?
I'm sure he is. I'm sure he was playing, and someone was looking, maybe a Man U or something. They put a 30 million pound.
Jesus, really?
Tag on him. Yeah, I'm sure he's playing. I don't know because they got rid of what's his name, Stoke, the goalkeeper. He's on loan at Lincoln. He was on loan at Lincoln. I think
he was at Peterborough for that one. Did he play a playoff game last year?
He played four championship games last year. So maybe he's not okay. Playing. Maybe he's dropped out now.
He's all right. Let's have a look. Did he play on Saturday? That's the key. No, he played Saturday.
Yeah, he might have been injured, that's why he's not come back in straight away. Oh, yeah, four games last year.
We've got some good keepers. Left back? It's got to be Jack Curry or Osu, I'd have thought. Is there any other left backs you can think of?
We had that young kid. Can you remember the name of the kid that Nwabi
dropped Harrison.
Off? That's the one.
I know. I thought he was excellent, by the way.
He came with a massive reputation that he was going to break in.
What happened to him then?
I think he got absolutely roasted in a game against Portsmouth or something like that. Portsmouth or Hull. Do you remember Hull had that really quick, nippy winger? I don't know if he went on and done anything.
Got a clue.
He absolutely roasted.
Because he literally came in the side. Everyone was like, bloody hell, this lad's quite good. He reminds me as well, on the other side, of someone like Jim Fenlon. Do you remember Jim Fenlon?
Do you know I thought
he was a good right back. He never really kicked on in the end. But I thought he was good. Did he?
Jim Fenlon, yeah. I think his last club he was at, well, I believe. I don't know much from that.
I thought I didn't think he did much. But
Harrogate, I'm sure.
So who are you going to take in terms of left back? Are you going to take Curry, Harrison? I mean, they're pretty good.
No, I'm getting mixed up with Jim Fenlon. And who's the other one? Brendan Kiernan.
He's at Walsall.
Jim Fenlon, unfortunately, yeah, you're right. He dropped out. He went to Hayes, and now he's playing for Wharton and Hersham.
So left back, you're doing all right. You've got some pretty good. You're taking Jack Curry over also. From a very small sample size.
Oh, 100% on the first game of the season, I'll take Jack Curry on Saturdays.
Okay.
Yeah, no, Jack Curry all day.
And then right back, I presume Sibic.
Toby Sibic probably.
I can't think of many other
youth team players that we've had.
I mean, if you wanted to, you could put Osu on the other side, but
yes,
and obviously Toby Biller, could play as a centre. Biller looked quite decent. He looks
he's
quite
too usual. Injury prone, mate. He's not really done much, has he? Not really. He didn't really have a great season at Merston, where he was injured a lot as well. That's, I think, the thing that could hamper him from getting first-team football is his injury record. Seems like he's made out of glass, unfortunately.
I mean, centre-backs, Nightingale, Callum Bailly, two easy, very, very easy picks, aren't
they?
Ryan Sweeney. He went to Stoke, didn't he? I don't know where he's at.
He's at Dundee.
Is that Robinson?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah. He was at Mansfield as well, didn't he, before that?
Yeah, he went to Stoke, Mansfield. So. Who are any other centre-backs? Any decent?
Who left and done better and left them well? Can't think of any, to be fair, off the top of my head. I don't think.
Oh, I can tell you, I can.
Who?
Ozay's Urugahide. Do you remember?
I'm not even having him either.
He's at Celtic.
He had one good game. He was on loan at Celtic. I think he's still at Sheffield Wednesday.
Because he had that amazing game in the cup, didn't he?
Yeah, and he's the one that Robbo said that if he could keep, when we interviewed Robbo on here, he said he would have him still.
Oh, but really?
I don't think. He's played enough for me. He didn't even play at Celtic when he went out there. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know how you can say, yeah, he's
it's not bad. It's not, I mean, like I said, it's not complete. I mean, I'm sure we're missing some players here and there, but it's not exactly, it's not stellar, but it'd be a decent, you would be quite happy with that in the League Two, wouldn't you? That back four and the keeper.
Yeah, Jack Curry.
Who's going to go in midfield for us?
Because we quickly went off the keepers. Will Mannion was meant to be the one that everyone
Will
was rating.
Yeah.
And it was weird how he's dropped down now. Well,
he was in Cyprus, but is he at Cambridge?
He's at Cambridge, yeah. And Joseph Bursic took over him. But yeah, in midfield, you've got
Hartigan.
Alfie Egan, he's off at Ebbsfleet now.
He didn't really do it today.
Brendan Kiernan?
Yeah, he sort of went off and then really kicked on.
He did, and then he went off the ball again. I think he's kicked on again. As I said, last time I saw him, he was at... where was he? He was at...
Who's that? Who's this?
Harrogate. Brendan Kiernan.
Yeah, he was at Harrogate. I think he's
now at Grimsby Town on loan. And he was at Walsall.
Yeah, he was doing well at Walsall.
He's had a good little career after he left us, to be fair. He played a lot non-league. And then when he went up to Harrogate, that's when he broke into Football League. So, yeah, not bad little career for someone that left us. Yeah,
he's done all right.
The other ones that never played for us, never made it as a first team, you've got Leo Castledine, who's just signed his first contract at... where is it? Chelsea. His first contract.
You've got to think he's going to be one of the guys who seriously comes through.
Do we get any money if they sell him for a large amount of money?
I think it all does. I don't know. I presume it all depends on the contract we're offered. But because we were the loan team of when he was young, I think they might have had him. I mean, he must have been at Chelsea a couple of years now, surely.
Yeah,
if he's been there a couple of years, then you'd think
he's... Isn't he captain as well for like their under-18s or something?
He's definitely played some good stuff. But if you think about him... there's people like Osama Ashley who never really played, but he got a decent move. He's now at Colchester.
Yep, you know one we're forgetting.
Go on,
Tyler Burley, Brewery.
Oh mate, he looked really really good, didn't he, on the wing? But he's, I don't know whether Tyler Burley came through our youth or not. I thought we might have got him late.
Yeah, I'm on the AFC Women Academy, and they put messages out around the players that we had.
Okay.
And where they've gone on to. So we had a goalkeeper called Joe Whitworth.
Okay.
He was 4 seasons before joining Crystal Palace at the age of 12. He's now in his first. Joe was on the bench against Aston Villa.
And he was right
at first. We had, who else? So I'm just looking through now. Jack Curry, obviously. I'm just going through the list.
Do you think if you've got Burley one side, Asau the other, and then you've got like a Zach Robinson, Daniel Agge up top. I'm sure there'll be another forward.
Leo Castledine, he was in the under-15s England squad as well, that done really well. We had another one who Michael, I think Michael Hammond mentioned the other week, who's just gone to Chelsea, that kid called Michael Goulding.
Okay.
So he was part of our academy from the age of 9, and he's just recently signed for Chelsea.
Wow. So that's
not bad. Jack Radoni.
Of course, yeah. For Rudy, how can we forget
again,
that?
Again, I said he was in our academy until he was 14, but he never, he signed when he was 9.
Who Radoni did?
Yeah.
Wow, I thought he was at Palace till quite late.
We've mentioned Ryan Sweeney.
Yeah.
We've got another geezer. What's his name? Archie something. I forget his full name. He's gone off to Rangers.
Oh, right.
So he's at Rangers now. Archie, where is it?
Not Archie Proctor.
Archie Stevens.
Archie Stevens.
And you think we had Archie Proctor, Jack Magdalene, bless him.
What happened to him?
He had a bad concussion injury.
So is he playing or not?
I don't think he is. I don't think he's playing anymore.
Because he made a debut and he had a really good game. It's just amazing how quick, like, when you think about it, how many decent players we've actually made from a youth team. And, that 11, let's be blunt, would be competitive, wouldn't it? Would be competitive in, you'd think, anyway, with some of the youngsters who might come through. You'd think we'd be in a nice place.
I said Tyler Brewery is one of them. Mill will love him. I think he's brilliant. And Ryan Sweeney, centre-back, he's gone. Daniel Agge. He's another one he should have maybe stayed with. Who's the other one that we had, striker, come off the bench, went on loan to, trialled with Chelsea, end up at Middlesbrough?
Olasanya.
Yeah, that's the one.
Is it him? Wasn't he the one who Akinfenwa gave the boy the penalty?
Yes, that's it, yep.
And he took it against, was it the last game of the season, the dead rubber, he scored it.
Yep.
And then he went to Chelsea, went to Middlesbrough, he's now gone somewhere else on loan.
Urugahide,
yeah. He's the one.
He was at Sheffield Wednesday. He's now on loan in Belgium. So a Belgium team.
Wow.
But yeah, Radoni signed when he was 11 and Hartigan signed when he was 14. Do you know what I mean? And they both
Hartigan signed when he was 14? Yeah. Where was he before then?
Olasanya, that's the one.
Yeah. Where was Hartigan before us then?
I think he was at Mule or something like that. Let me just quickly look.
I'd lost a lot of money on that.
And he joined the academy at 14 and within 3 seasons had already made his first team debut. So he made his debut when he was 17. He's made over 100 appearances for Wimbledon.
That is mad, isn't it?
That's the thing.
It is criminal.
But we don't realise. I think
he didn't quite kick. I was quite upset. Actually, I was quite annoyed that people booed him because I don't think there was much. It wasn't that he didn't try. He was just a little bit of a luxury player for us. And I don't think I don't think League Two was going to work out for him in terms of where he's going to go. But I feel like he got a bit of a rough deal, actually.
Yeah, and it's
a 17, played a lot of games. He worked hard. He wasn't no great shakes. It was a good move for both parties. I'm just surprised that a lot of people gave him a lot of grief, actually. I thought that was a bit rubbish.
Are we counting Nick Zanev?
I wouldn't be. No, I wouldn't count Nick Zanev in that.
Not having come for our youth, no?
No, not for me. But... You know, he can make the bench. Basically, that's a decent. It just shows you, I suppose, when you're looking at it from a value of the academy, is it worth doing? I guess one of the things is that if you look at the academy from a value from the players who make the first team, then it might not be much value. When you look at actually who goes where, a lot of very good players are leaving us for some serious football teams. Yes. And when you put that into the mix, what's interesting and amazing is obviously you always talk about Patrick Roberts and how much he went for. It's just a shame. It'd be interesting to know how much someone like Leo Castledine is worth at 15.
Yeah.
And then he's worth at 19.
When you're a parent and you've got kids and stuff and they're half decent at football, I said my boy, he joined Wimbledon Academy at a really young age. He wasn't like in the academy kind of thing. He was playing goal, and what they do is they play other academies. Not Wimbledon, not proper football academies, not West Ham, stuff like that. They played ones, you know, I said about
Lee Finch Soccer Ball.
Yeah, Lee Finch Soccer Academy and stuff like that. And then what they do is they pick up some players from them as well and go, look, we like that boy there. And then he joins, and then that gives the kudos to that then soccer academy that, look, we're getting players come for us. They're going to Wimbledon at 13, 14. And it's like that. But you're looking at a pathway of where my boy, can he go up to the first team? Where would his pathway be from 13 upwards and stuff like that? And yeah, we've got a very good pathway. It's like you're looking at Jack Curry now, and you're looking against Crawley, the smile on his face as we're before the game. During the game, after the whole game.
I know we're not talking about the Crawley game, but the whole of the Crawley energy, the atmosphere in terms of playing, we spoke a bit about it on Sunday, but it was just really good to see us kind of get the cobwebs away from Mansfield and just put on we were really, really good.
Also,
and the youngsters stepped up nicely.
It's kind of on tune with what we're saying, but you're looking at Johnny Jackson, who was a Charlton man. He is Charlton. Do you know what I mean? He's Charlton through and through. He's come to Wimbledon and fallen in love with Wimbledon because of everything with the D-Lag, with the academy, with the fans and everything that everyone does. And he's embracing it and getting involved in it. I love that side of things where people actually come to Wimbledon and they fall in love with what we are because, do you know what I mean? We have got tough opposition on our doorstep. Chelsea's, Fulham's, Palace's.
It's tremendous.
Now. Do you know what I mean? And you're trying to find the best players in the world. And as we used to do it with the Chris Perry's, the Neil Sullivan's, Neil Ardley's, and we're going to do it again. I think we will. We'll find players that will come through. And it seems like every year we have players that come through and break into our youth team. Every year we have, like, look, Ayaba Sal, Jack Curry. We'll probably have
Jack Redoni the year before.
Jack Redoni, you know what I mean? It's not like we're not churning out. You want one a year at least.
It's just like you said. We we'll get three or four or five pros, but one, you need one to really go. You need one to really get game time. And again, it is that balance between the player isn't quite... Someone like Jack Curry this year could potentially just be left there and gone, do you know what? We're going to give you the ups and downs. We're going to play you for the year and see where you go. I think that's why where Wimbledon is so good, is that we are going to play our young players. We're going to give you a go. We're going to look after you. And we would rather put our money into you on a slow but a positive progression rather than just pick up some Larry's 31 and wait you at left back.
Yep. And look at the people on the bench at the moment. You've got three or four on the bench at the moment who are coming for our academy.
I mean that is a major concern. Hershey, I mean, we're going to come
Isaac,
to that.
Ogada, Quinton Bartley, David Fish is still about. Do you know what I mean?
That is very promising to see that, but we are light, aren't we, on personnel?
Yeah, but we can discuss that when we talk about transfers and the transfer hotspot later. Should we move on? Should we go on and move on to Mike Buckley?
What, Buckers? Bucko, the Buck Dog?
When we come back, we'll discuss the appointment of new CEO, Mike Buckley.
The Wombles had a dream podcast by the fans, for the fans.
Right, so we're back and we're going to be discussing the appointment of new CEO, Mike Buckley. I say new CEO, he was doing it. Was he doing it on an interim basis, I think it was?
Yeah, or? I think so.
Yeah, his current interim role. So Mike will be coming in as the CEO. Strange one for me is that he'll be doing 2 days, equivalent of 2 days a week. And his responsibilities will include chairing the PLC board, line management for the first team manager, completing the recruitment of our new MD, restarting the recruitment process for our planned head of football operations, which blew my mind when I saw that. Line management, both once appointed, supporting both in their roles as system, embedding the new club structure and day of working. Is it me, or does that seem like a lot of work for someone doing 2 days a week?
Well, it sounds like a hell of a lot, but I guess the conversation will be, if he's doing 2 days a week and he's the chair, what I presume the rest of the PLC board are doing all this other work, and we've got to make sure we get that right. I was under the impression that we had a guy coming in doing the recruitment. Am I right? So restarting all of that seems a bit odd. And again, it just seems classic Wimbledon. We're just doing it a bit late. Now it's the end of the transfer window. So
what I don't get is,
missed the boat.
Again, this is what we say on here, and I know other people do as well, is that we don't get told a lot and stuff, unless you're a Don's Trust member and it's on the Don's Trust boards or the, I don't know if it is, again. Restarting the recruitment process for our planned head of football, I thought that was pretty much done and dusted. It was just waiting to be announced who it was. Did we have someone lined up and they've now taken a job elsewhere? Have the candidates not been good enough? Again, this is stuff we don't... It's really weird that now, as you said, we're what? How many weeks into the season? And we still don't have a head of football operations. And I think the club are probably quite lucky that we're doing quite well on the pitch. Because, again, last year, we were so bad on the pitch, quite bad off the pitch. So it all kind of went into one and everyone was losing their heads. When it's decent on the pitch, you forget what's going off the pitch because it kind of takes a backward step, if you get what I mean.
Well, from what I understand, he's not the CEO. So, he's the chairman of the board. And as Chris Stewart says, as we complete the key hiring of our new managing director and continue our work improving board structures and accountability, I'm delighted that Mick has agreed to stand on this new role. So from my understanding, he's going to be the chair and we're going to have somebody else who will be above him. But I mean, it was relatively new before we came on here today, but I think the concern is understanding exactly what he's responsible for and who this new MD is. They said they've interviewed some really, really good people who I presume would be the effective Joe Palmer. But again, it's just a little bit of a, I don't know. I don't really know how I feel about it, really. I mean, 2 days a week sounds a bit bonkers to be managing, to manage Johnny Jackson, to manage the recruitment process and the people. That seems quite... No, but maybe it isn't. Maybe when you do the recruitment, you're not going to be very busy. You're just busy in the transfer windows.
And if you've got an MD coming in and you've got your head of football coming in, then 2 days is probably enough to do the rest. If you're chairing
meetings
and stuff. But it says, I look forward to supporting a new managing director in equipping the club for the challenges and opportunity of growing our revenue at Plough Lane and providing an improved experience for all our members and fans. But it's, as I said, it's what? August 23rd now, 24th, 25th.
This window is gone for this new structure to take place. So I guess maybe this is, they're thinking, let's be honest, I mean, we will come to it, but I'll be amazed if Johnny Jackson hasn't got his targets lined up and the positions in particular. So I would have thought that this will be from a September onwards, but who knows? It's Wimbledon. It seems a little bit late in the day. I'm amazed this wouldn't have been decided in the summer before the season, which gives him a little bit of a run up, maybe. But maybe. I mean, what do we know?
Does Johnny Jackson have a say in the head of football? Because that's someone he's going to be working closely with, I'm guessing.
I don't think he does. I think as a club, you pick your head of football or you pick your boards, and then the manager, the head of football is ultimately responsible for everything to a football, which means that if he's not happy, he just gets rid of the coach. Because otherwise, the club's got to be run from a management status, and then you bring in your manager. You can't have the manager decided above, because if ultimately, if you go that route, then the manager would never get sacked. The manager goes because head of football's not happy with what you're delivering. So it has to be that you've got your head of football above the manager, and then the manager goes if the head of football's not happy. But they should be aligned, which is where it's weird, because a new head of football now should really come in and be aligned with Johnny Jackson. But if he's not, then that's a problem, because you've hired a bloke and you're asking him to potentially change his philosophies or the way he wants to go about his football, which brings in your point, which is, well, if they're not aligned, how does that work?
Yeah, no, the Don's Trust on Twitter, the boards, they announced it as well. And then Days of Speed, Jonesy, as we know, and he's come on here and I spoke to him on Saturday and stuff. He said, please make haste explaining how it manifests. We do not need an unelected head of state within our republic. Happy you appointed someone to carry out a role that needs some time allocated, not happy if we've created a kingdom without speaking to the citizens who own the thing.
What, Jonesy? You know what
I mean? And I know Mike Butley is a Wimbledon fan and he's done good work within the interim. But again, this is the whole question in regards to Don's Trust and the members below it, is what do the members actually do if they don't, you know what I mean? We vote for people in charge of that, but then they've just gone, right, here you go, there's the new chair, without actually asking the members.
I guess we'll have to just wait and see. We'll just to see how it goes. It does seem a little bit weird that you can, I'm now in the Don's Trust and I haven't had any information on it, but I guess at the same time, you can't ask every single individual about every single decision. And I guess in many ways, you'd rather people who are informed about business and informed about this kind of role, you'd rather they were making the call as opposed to, you know, somebody in Costa Rica. I mean, it would be completely pointless. So I think we just get behind it. We work out what's going on, see what impact he can make. I mean, it's only a 1 year deal at the end of the day, which again is a bit weird. It's a 1 year post for a 2 day a week job. It doesn't. I guess he's just the little gap. Again,
did we not have anyone coming in to do the job? And it was like, right, we've got no candidates. You've been doing a good job. I know you've got a life and a job after Wimbledon. Can you do 2 days a week?
I mean, I presume the other thing is obviously there's this whole brand new structure. He'll do this role for a year and then the new structure takes over and we say thanks, but we're off.
So as a Don's Trust member, you've not had any information regarding this?
Nothing.
No email?
I haven't heard from the Don's Trust in a substantial while.
What, since you joined, pretty much?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Well, I joined and it took a long time to get anything back.
So as a Don's Trust member, you're getting as much information as me, who's not a Don's Trust member.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, actually, I haven't.
So again, this goes towards the argument that people have with regards to Don's Trust. Do you know what I mean? You join to get information, to have a vote and have a say, but you're not getting any information unless you probably go on pro boards.
But the last email I got from them was in the beginning of August, so a couple of weeks ago, but it was about the results of a pricing and ticketing survey.
Yeah,
that's the last thing I've heard. Yeah, that's the last thing I've got.
That went out to everyone, not just members. Oh, okay.
Well, before that, I didn't have a huge amount. It just, and again, I guess from my angle, if, and I know there's a lot of people who talk about fan ownership and non-fan ownership, and I've made my stance very clear that I feel like we've done a really good job, but it's time to now look at improving or growing the amount of external investment. And it's not fair for you to make a decision without having the full picture, but having the opportunity to be on the Don's Trust and to get the information. There's not a huge amount of difference between me being in the Don's Trust and me not being, in terms of impact on the from what I've experienced. Now maybe I need to work harder or be a bit more active, but I haven't heard anything at all.
So yeah, again, you've had the exact same amount of information that I've had.
Yeah,
which is zilch.
But I guess if there's a big decision that comes up, like an executive chair, I get to make a decision.
You go on the pro boards, I'm guessing, and read information and read questions asked and stuff. But if you haven't got the time to go on the pro boards, like you possibly don't and stuff like that, then you ain't going to see the information that you need. It's about information. It's the stuff with like huddling going back to...
Huddling stuff's weird because we didn't get anything from that, did we? And the recording stuff's weird because we've heard absolutely zero about that.
Well, it's like he don't exist anymore at the club. Do you know what I mean? It's like he's not...
He won't be much longer, I think, at the club.
But huddling one was weird for me is that there was a count saying that he's gone back to Huddersfield because obviously a Huddersfield fan seen him back in Huddersfield.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Guess that he's been recalled, but has he been recalled? He's injured, but do we know if he's coming back ever again? Apparently he's gone up there for treatment and he'll come back. But again, it then leads to all this stuff that gets says, I know, unless it's an official, don't believe it, but it's hard not to if you don't get any information from the official club either, though. And it's the same with the Don's Trust and Mike Buckley is now the chair. Like, what happens below that? What do the Don's Trust board do? This is what I ask the question all the time.
I don't really know. And again, this is where the power or the strength of the fan ownership comes in. Is that if you create an open void, people will fill it full of nonsense. Yeah. And we've had some decent people on Facebook and Twitter actually try and answer questions and be very upfront, which is great. But I would argue it probably needs to be a bit more official.
But if you're not on social media, again, you're not finding out information because you're not going to see I mean, not everyone's on social media.
Yeah, well, if I was on social media, I wouldn't see anything at all. Like, literally zero.
That's what I mean. It's mad, isn't it?
Which is, yeah, a little bit mental. But we're wishing well, and we'll hopefully the club will...
Apparently, he's done a good job as an interim.
Yeah, I mean, well, like Jackson, I said, that's it. See where we go.
Bigged him up in an interview the other day, done with ITV, and said that me and the CEO worked really well. Do you know what I mean? He's given me everything I need as tools to put out a solid squad, which I think we have got. A solid first team, not a solid squad at the moment, yeah, but it's still leaking a bit to the transfer window finishes. But again, people don't seem to be getting information regarding this stuff, and it just happens. Bosh, there you go. There's the new chair, and everyone, like even Jonesy, saying like, "Do you know what I mean? I'm a member. I didn't know this was going to happen. It's just now we've got this unelected person that you've elected." It's like last year when Pricey and Anne-Marie got put onto the board. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's in the thing that they can do that, but yeah, it just blows people's minds. So
I've got, like I said, it'll be interesting. Let's just give him the best. We'll just hope that he does a good job, whether he will or not, I don't know, but we'll have to just give him the best. We'll have to see how he gets on.
Agree. And then so should we move on and come back and talk about transfers?
Absolutely. The
window is closing in a week, and we'll discuss, are we going to lose one and are we going to sign a couple?
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast, by the fans, for the fans.
And we're back discussing the transfer window, and that's due to shut very soon. I think it's next week, isn't it? The transfer window shuts.
Yeah, definitely.
By the time this goes out, we're recording this early this week because me and Dan are quite busy with work and stuff and family life. So by the time this goes out, I reckon we would have done one out and two in. So I understand that McCormack is gone. He's now signed for Bristol Rovers. I think the deal is believed to be around about £300,000, which, again, if you understand...
Do you think forget about how much we get, is he worth 300K, do you think?
I think he's worth a bit more. If you look at his pedigree, that he come from Chelsea Academy, play for Bristol. But what I don't like about it is that you've got one relegation under your belt with Bristol.
Yeah.
You come to Wimbledon and got another relegation. And what I really hate with modern football and footballers is when they give you the whole spiel of, I love this club, I love the fans, and I'm loving my time here. And then you play for the club for one season, and as soon as what you perceived as a better off comes in, you off. It's like the thing in Leicester have with Fofana at the moment.
Yeah.
He recently signed a 5-year contract. And as soon as a better offer come in, it's like, I'm gone. And what I hate about modern football is that footballers have all the power now, even at our level. Johnny Jackson has no power over this. Do you know what I mean? He's lost probably one of the best players that we had in this level.
Yeah.
Because the geezer's thrown his toys at the pram. And I'm really disappointed in Luke McCormack in the way that he's acted and the way that he has...
I'm just amazed, Lee, that anyone... I mean, I know potentially, I don't want to spread rumours around, but obviously it looks like Bristol Rovers are the team that he was preferred. But the playing up bit is a bit I don't really get, because I just... If I was Bristol Rovers, I'd be like, I'm not being funny. This lad here, he's under contract at Wimbledon and he's basically refusing to play, mucking about, whatever. If we get relegated, this is the same. The behaviour, he's shown his character already. And that, for me, is a bit of a... would be a massive red flag. If I'm Joe Barton, I'm like, I know he's a good player, but this is red flag city here.
Yeah, unless Joe Barton and Bristol have told him to act in a certain way to try and force a move, because that happens in football. We all know that agents...
But you can't do that. That's just tapping a player up. You can't...
You're not meant to do it, but everyone knows it happens. You listen to Talk Sport in the morning, you listen to Jordan and Wyatt and Trevor Sinclair and all them. It happens across football no matter. You can't stop it. It happens. It's going to happen. It happens at our level, as it has happened.
I mean, I think if we were to receive all the 300, I know we're not, but I wouldn't have had... It's so difficult understanding the value of players lower down. Higher up, you can kind of get it. Lower down, it's really difficult. But I personally wouldn't have a problem with selling McCormick, provided that we get a half-decent player to replace him, and there might be a little bit of money left over.
Well, this is the thing. We're getting someone else to replace... Well, I don't know if they're replacing him, but we are rumoured to be having two more players come in. But go back to the McCormick situation quickly before we talk about the two players that could be coming in. or have come in already. I just really, really hate people that do, like footballers that do this. Like, you're on quite a good wage, rumoured to be between $4,000 and $5,000, highest paid player at Wimbledon. You're probably going to live local to where you, you know what I mean? You didn't move to Bristol when you went there on a season loan because you were still contract over Chelsea. So you probably live local still. You've got a good life, good club. Why not rip it up in League Two and then go, right, I'll either stay Wimbledon League One or, look, I've helped out. I've done the best, knuckled down. Can I leave now? Do you know what I mean? I don't get why. Who do you think you are? Who do footballers think? Who do they think they are nowadays, though, Danny?
Well, it's ridiculous. The other thing as well is he rips up League Two, he gets and he's on a free contract. So the reality of it, if he rips up League Two and he's very, very good, which he's more than capable of, the big question, though, right now, he wouldn't get in our team.
He would.
I don't think he'd get in over Chislett. And
would.
I definitely don't think he'd get in over Asau.
He would.
Where? Where is he going to play?
He played just down the front two.
No,
he would.
What,
he would. He's still, yeah, he's miles better than Chislett. Miles better. I don't
care. In that position,
even though I don't like him now and I don't like his attitude, if he comes down to Wimbledon again, I will boo him, give him loads of stick.
But you reckon he'd play over Asau and
if
Chislett?
If we were starting the season again and he was fit and he wanted to play for Wimbledon, he'd be in that team and I think he would be performing very well. And I don't think he would be one of our best players. A country mile. But you know what we were saying earlier in the podcast? Is there any heroes in football nowadays? And you've got these young kids looking up at players. If you've got a young kid last year who looked up to like McCormick and you met him and he took a photo and stuff, and now he's acting like an absolute spoilt brat.
Yeah.
This is how people just fall out of love with football, I think, at the moment. It's just too money driven that you think like no one wants to win things anymore. No one wants to win any leagues or any cups. Other than the big team, Man City's, Arsenal's and all them. They want to try and win a cup, right? But it's all about money now. Most players don't give a shit. They don't really care if they win. They just want, I want to be able to drive that Range Rover. I want to be able to, and I kind of get it because that's what you, but when you started playing football and stuff, you wanted to win stuff. When you want to play cricket, you don't go out there going, oh yeah, I'm going to earn an extra. You want to win. No one wants to win anymore.
And that's weird. That also goes up the top when you've got the likes of Kane and stuff who still decide to stay. You're like, I admire your loyalty, but you surely want to win stuff. It just seems a bit weird. But it's interesting. So McCormick goes, and then you reckon we're bringing in possibly two. What positions are you thinking that we need the reinforcement?
So the other one,
we're definitely light, aren't we? We're definitely light as a squad.
Again, this comes out on first, so this would have already come out. So we could have already signed a player, could have already been announced. So Harry Pell from Accrington is another one that we're paying a fee for. So that is,
I don't think that's a bad bit of business, you know. I've always been a big fan of Harry Pell.
I'm not overly keen on him. But someone reminded me it was 7 years ago that he played for us previously. He was a bit immature. He had a bit of an attitude on him when he signed.
We do seem a little bit low on height as a squad. And I feel like Marsh, Woodyard, Paris as a four. Because ultimately, it's not about picking your best 11. It's a squad. You've got to pick a squad.
Five subs this year.
Yeah.
And you've
got to pick a squad.
And you're looking at our bench now, and you're thinking, right, Bendall, decent, right? But he's 17. Is it worth him just staying on the bench and playing 5 minutes here and there? Or is it worth him going out on loan to a conference South team? This is what we were discussing on the debrief last Sunday. I would say yes, get him out on loan. As much as I think he's going to be a really big player for us, he is only 17. So we don't have to rush him into the first team. Do you know what I mean? If you've got someone like Pell coming in who is experienced this level, as much as I don't like him because I thought when he was with us, he had an attitude, he couldn't wait to move on to a bigger club, so to speak, kind of like the McCormick attitude. But he did move on. He has done stuff and he's played well at League Two level, Cheltenham, Colchester. He's had a crack at League One, done all right last season with Accrington, scored, I think, 4 goals, 5 assists. Not bad figures. I don't like maybe him as a personality, but can he play League Two football? Yes. Is he experienced? Yes. Would you have him in the team over Marsh? Possibly. Would you have him in the squad over Bendall at this time? Yes. Get Bendall out on loan. And I think, it's not a bad sign.
I think the reality is that for every single player on the pitch, you want somebody at least, or you realistically want one player to replace every single player. So if you play two holding midfielders, you want four. Pell gives you four. We've got two behind the front two. Up front, I still think we're a bit light. If you think Cosgrave has gone to Southend, down your ends.
Good loan.
Good loan. Very good loan. And Hudlin's injured. That literally leaves you NYC, Davison.
And Asau.
Fisher. And Asau, who might play there. But I don't think Asau's a forward. I think he's got to be deeper.
But he came on against Crawley as the striker for NYC when NYC went and then before Fisher or Bartley.
And then we've got, in terms of, we've got three kind of defenders. Brown, Nightingale, Callum Bailly, Pierce. I feel like we need Gunter. But Gunter's played right, isn't he? He's not played in the three. He's played wide. I would have thought
because we've got no one else as a wing back. But then
we're going to need. We're going to need
the other one. Where the other rumor is a young lad from Chelsea called Xavier Simmons, not Xavier Wiggins. Xavier Simmons.
I prefer Wiggins.
I thought Wiggins could do a job at the back if I'm being
down
honest.
The right. Keep it tight.
Yes.
Pass and go.
But yeah, Xavier Simmons, who is again a midfielder, 6 foot, but I understand that he can play right wing back. We've also re-signed Osu. Osu can play both sides. I think he'll be competition for Curry, but he can also go right wing back as well. Which Gunter, I can see Gunter pushing into the centre back roles.
I definitely can, because I can't see him lasting the season going up and down the wing. And I definitely think that I can't see Brown playing left wing back.
But if we go back to say Saturday's game against Crawley, right, we won 2-0, easy game. Can you imagine if we went 1-0 down against Crawley and you're looking at our bench to change things around?
No, we ain't got.
Are you looking at Bendall, Fisher and Bartley and going, right, I can take them on to change it? Again, as much as I think Bendall's going to be quality in the future, and he is quality now, you're not really looking. Well, you're looking at the bench and going, right, I've got Pell. Do you know what I mean? He can come in and do a job straight away.
But again, though, Lee, it is
Nick
that
has
question.
A goal at 6 foot saying.
It is that question of, do you want a squad that's going to be potentially going to get promoted? Or are you going to have a squad where you're going to say, all of you youngsters are going to get experience this year. You're going to be on the bench. You're going to come on at different times. You're going to get a flavour for League Two. Because next year, you're going to get your opportunity. Or the year after, you're going to get your opportunity.
Look at
Look
at Jack Curry, for example. You just said there. Jack Curry went on loan at Eastbourne, right? Looking for promotion out of conference, out of the conference. Done really well. Got their players' player of the year. Come back, started first team football and looks like he should have been there all his life. Bendel needs to do that. Hershey needs to do that. They need to do better loans this year, not Merstham's or Corinthians Cash. They need to be going Conference South.
Do you think Jack Curry, and not to go on about, I know you don't want to look at last year, etc. Would, if we were in League One, would Jack Curry be starting left back, left wing back? You think he would?
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes.
Okay.
But I don't know what he was like last year. Has he put a little bit more muscle on this year? Has he learned? Do you know what I mean? Has that loan taught him?
I just wonder whether there's
like his leap is unbelievable for winning headers.
It's just, I guess it's the jump in. He was playing Nationwide or National South.
Yes.
To League Two is two divisions. League One is three. That's big. And we've seen it with Nesta. And obviously him going to Reading looks like he's had an absolute car crash. So
I don't think he was great at League One level either, to be fair.
No, well exactly. So it'd be interesting. I wonder whether
I'm only going by what you said there regarding would he play. I would say yes, because I'd have him over Nesta, because I didn't really rate Nesta as well. Again, another person I didn't really rate as a person. Do you know what I mean? This is where I look at Pell and think, when he was with us, didn't really relate to him as a person, didn't really kind of get that. You know what I mean? You could see him as a hero kind of thing. You know, that you get with Curry, that you get with Lyle Taylors, that you're getting now with Davison and New York City. You're kind of getting that kind of feel with them that you're actually, I'm liking these players. And that's what I think we need. But maybe Pell's changed. He's probably matured. He's had kids. Do you know what I mean? 7 years away.
Hopefully. So is it a good window for Wimbledon if we get rid of McCormick, we bring in Pell, and a potential right wing back, would you say that's a good window? Is that enough? Or are we, for me, I still think we need another forward.
People are saying we need another forward and possibly another centre back. Because you look at our centre backs, Pierce, every game, he walks off like he's literally can't walk.
Yeah, and he can't. You know what I mean? He has been really bad.
Brown is inconsistent.
Yeah, I've not rated him at all.
He was good against Crawley, to be fair. Very talkative. And I noticed that. I watched him. He was very talkative with the back four. Talking to Will. We know Will he's made out of glass. I think Will's doing really well this season, but he's made out of glass. He could get injured at any minute. He also is inconsistent. Same with Paul Callanby. I don't know if we need to spend money on a centre-back. Really don't think we do. Striker-wise, it blows my mind that we let Zach Robinson go out on loan.
This, it makes it even worse now, doesn't it? When you, if you think Cosgrave's going, unless he's got loans, someone coming in.
How many loans have we got?
What, in?
How many loans have we got? Paris, NYC, Hudlin. And possibly Hudlin.
That's it.
We've still got two left.
Yeah.
Would you bring in another... Would you bring in... Use the two loans?
Definitely. I don't understand why you wouldn't.
So if we're getting this Xavier Simmons, that's another loan. That's four. We've got one more left.
Yeah.
Would you... The problem you get is trying to loan a striker in is... The club, the parent clubs, wants them to play every week. Is that why?
I don't think you're going to have Hudlin's striker in.
Maybe gone back.
And the thing is, I don't think you can have too many gambles. Now, Hudlin, if for me, is a bit of a gamble. Young Coombs is a bit of a gamble because he's younger. He has been very impressive, but he is a bit of a gamble. I don't know whether or not you can afford to have another gamble up front. I think he's got to go permanent up front, a decent forward, and then play, bring in a Xhaka type. On loan, who can pop in and do the odd
NYC wasn't a gamble because of what he's done previously. If you look at his record at Rangers,
he's the same as Presley, goal scoring record.
Totally different. But again, Presley, I feel hard done by because if he had played in the two, if he had played with Davison, would he have scored more goals?
Possibly.
Playing up front on his own and then playing with Sam Cosgrove and stuff like that.
Could have, would have, should have.
I get it. I get it. People hate Presley. And I'm not overly a big fan of his. But then I look at the situation where we were last year and think, I say this all the time, let's forget last year. But talking about if he had come in this team and played with Davison, played with Sal, would he have been a better striker? Possibly. But
same with NYC, though. If he was playing for me, he wasn't would he have gamble. Picked it up?
I thought he would do well. And I thought Paris was a bigger gamble because he's never been on loan, never played at any other level, really. But I don't know. Would you go after I don't know who we need another striker. I agree with that. I think we've got Davison, NYC, Hudlin if he returns. And I still don't think he's coming back. It's very, very quiet on Hudlin. Yeah.
I think he definitely is.
He wasn't playing many games for us. And if you're sending someone out on loan, you weren't playing. And
you don't send a player back after three games, surely to Christ.
But maybe we didn't rate him.
Yeah, but why would you get him in the first place?
Because you thought he was different to what we had, and then you looked at him and thought, unless a donkey.
Unless Radoni was going to Huddersfield, and it was like, look, this is a kicker, and he just
I don't know. I just don't read into the fact that he's injured and gone back. It's only a groin strain. Why has he gone back to Huddersfield? All right, there. Can't we look after a groin strain?
Well, I think, you've got three loans, I think we're definitely going to... I wouldn't be surprised if he'd keep one up his sleeve, but if Pell's permanent, which I would expect him to be, that means that the midfield four are done, and I'll be happy with that, because if one's injured, we've got enough to rotate with subs.
Five subs.
If Bendel comes on, and if Bendel's struggling, or you want to bring a player in, and Chislett can probably drop back into one of those roles, maybe. I don't like a Sal up front. I don't like him up front. I think he's got to be deeper or a bit more freer.
But could it be a striker at the last day of the transfer window?
Possibly.
Could we be going, right, we're bringing in Pell and Simmons now. That's done, right? So we're pretty solid. Got a week left. Let's wait until we've got Barrow at home, which I fancy us to beat Barrow with the squad that we have. Do we then look closer and then last day of the season? Right, that's what's about. What's being given away? Has Lyle Taylor got a move? Not saying we've got a chance of that. But do you know what I mean? Is there a player that going, look, this player's been offered now?
I need some game time.
That's the one we want. Go. Yeah, we'll go for him.
I think that might be quite shrewd, but I think there's also a lot of other people in the market. Charlton, as an example, have not got a centre forward at all by the looks of it. They've got young Leeburn, who's been okay, but they've been all over their Twitters and stuff. They've been, we need a striker. And I think there'll be a lot of teams in and amongst it. But
is that why we're waiting until the last day and then go, maybe. Right, Charlton does this business.
I'm definitely expecting a right wing back or a right sided player. And I am expecting a centre mid.
It's all hinges on what other teams do, kind of thing. The last day of the season. The last day of the transfer window. It means Charlton signed that striker. That means that Charlton don't want him. He's not going now. It's all trying to put the puzzle together.
We've spoken about people going in. Any going out?
Just McCormick, I think. I think we'll see quite a few going out on loan. The Hersheys, the Isaac Ogonda. I think we'll see them all going out. Maybe Bartley.
But who's going to take the bench places then?
Well, as I said,
there ain't going to be, you know, if they're on the bench coming now. Back. Yeah, just one.
Hershey hasn't been on the bench for the last few weeks. Isaac went on the bench again on Saturday. I think you'll find that, who else? Callumby is on the bench. Broom's on the bench. If we bring on this, if this Pell and Simmons signs, they can't all go in there. So Marsh, Pell, Simmons, you pick one out of them, two would go on the bench. I'd have probably, most people would say Pell would start. You have Marsh on the bench with...
I just feel like on the bench, you're going to need at least a forward, if you want to change it to go forward, a midfielder, a defender to shore it up. You obviously need a keeper because we can have somebody on the bench. And we haven't got that yet. Whether we'll, if we've got injuries, I don't know. I think it's going to be a right wing back, a centre midfielder and a forward. But I've got no problem. If we got the two midfielders and the right wing back, I would probably settle to not have an extra forward. But I just like you, I think there's something in the water up front because, like I said, Davis and Young Coombs look really, really, as I said, look really positive.
If Simmons comes in, we've got one loan left. I'm guessing we'll still have money in the pot because apparently it's around about 300 grand we're getting from McCormick. I believe it's around about 50 grand we're paying for Pell. That leaves some money in the pot. Could we be doing it? As I said, I think we'll leave it to the last day and go, this is what we need. This is what's available. Right. I've got my nice first team. This is what I'm going to...
And do you feel like with the players that you've spoken about, I think before the season, I said 14th. You might have said 10th.
Yep.
With those players coming in, are you sticking with 10th or do you feel
we've got the possibility
to nudge up?
Possibly with a couple more, two or three more players coming in. I think we need two or three. If we sign Pell Simmons, I still think we need two.
So two on top of that?
Yes. Striker and possibly a centre-back. I think, looking at this league and the teams we've played, I don't know why we can't go for automatic promotion.
Jesus. That's fantastic, but mental.
I said, I'm only going Gillingham, right? Came down with us. They were awful. Doncaster. How we didn't beat them 2-0. You know what I mean? We fell asleep for the last 8 minutes of the game. Mansfield, I think we got destroyed against, but I'll give you one game.
It was 2-2, yeah.
You know what I mean? It was 2-2.
And to be fair, I think they'll be up there.
Yeah, I do. I think they're a good, decent team. Crawley on Saturday were absolutely horrendous.
Oh, they were terrible.
Horrendous team. Really bad. And they spent money. But they're us last year. They brought all these youth players and trying to play men's football.
My mate went and he was like, he was a Crawley fan. He was like, literally, it looks like we've done exactly what you did last year.
Oh, mad. But in League Two, yeah, they were big trouble. But they're not even playing. I don't know if he's injured, but the striker they bought from...
Dominic Telford, he was on the bench, wasn't he?
Yeah, I don't know if he's injured.
And Noah Pyre, eh? What are the chances?
Well, because someone said he was injured and I thought, no. Because he's hardly ever injured. He'd be playing in this game. Yeah, unfortunately, he's injured for the first time in a couple of years. So,
a couple of days.
But yeah, I'm looking at the league, right? And I'm looking and thinking, why can't we get in one of them top three positions at the moment? People think I'm mad, but something special is happening this year. I don't know what it is, but it is.
Something special. Look at how excited you are.
Someone said to me on Saturday, right? One of my mates.
I've not seen you this excited since Pick and Mix was on.
If you haven't heard the Sunday debrief on Sunday, we spoke about this. After a few people were disappointed after the game because they said it was boring. And one of my mates said, what has happened to you, Lee? He said, you're this positive, like going mad about this squad and stuff like that, when normally you're negative. I'm like, but why would you not be positive? We won 2-0. We should have beat Doncaster 2-0. We beat Gillingham 2-0. Do you know what I mean? You keep clean sheets for fun. We've had one bad game against Manfield where we had 10 players that didn't turn up. It happens. Get over it. We're going up this year, automatic, and then we'll go down again next year. Told you, yo-yo club now.
Don't say that.
We'll move on. And when we come back, we'll discuss Barrett at home and we'll predict what the score will be.
The Wombles had a dream podcast by the fans. For the fans.
And we're back for the final part of today's episode. And we're going to be discussing Barrow at home. Me and Danny off air were just discussing, I thought Barrow were further down in the table, but they're actually third in the league.
High flying Barrow, as the club put it on his on his invite to all the local community.
Well, their last three games, they beat Harrogate 1-0, beat Walsall 2-1, and Walsall were flying at the time. I know they've dropped. And lost to Sutton 1-0 away. We are favourites, 5-4. They're 15-8, 5-2 to draw. I don't know. It's going to be tougher than I thought, actually. I thought we'd be whooping them, but yeah, high-flying Barrow.
It'll be interesting. Obviously, we beat Gillingham with the Doncaster one. I think what is important is last year, home form was pants, and we were really poor at home. I think what is important, this is a home game. If we are the team that you're talking about and this special team and the possibility to go up or whatever automatically, this is a game where you've got to be taking points, and realistically, you've got to be taking three. That I think the concern, the good point, obviously, is we kept the clean sheet against Crawley, which was fantastic. But for me, this is 3 points that we need to be looking to take. Early season form is early season form. But if we've got any kind of aspiration to be very good this year, we've got to be looking at 3, and we've got to be looking at a 2-0 win.
Yeah, I totally agree. This is probably going to be our toughest game to date in the league. I know Mansfield are decent, but they've lost 2 before we played them, and Barrow have lost 1 against Sutton, which I think you said was a last-minute goal Sutton last scored against
them. Yeah. Well, they had a goal disallowed Barrow in the last minute, and Sutton whacked the ball from the keeper, went over the goalkeeper, and the guy just tapped it in.
They look defensively like they're decent. They've got goal difference of +3, so defensively they look all right. I don't know much about Barrow as in a squad, what they've got. What manager have they got? Have they got the manager that came in from someone?
Stockport had, I think I've got the guy who was at Oldham.
They've got the guy that was at... Is this guy that came in from Halifax then?
Yes. No, I think that is...
They've got Peter Wild.
Yeah, he's the guy from Oldham.
He was the guy from Oldham. He was the guy from Halifax.
He also managed
Oldham. Managed Oldham before that, and then he managed Halifax last year that got into the playoffs.
Okay.
So he's doing better than I think most people thought he would do. He's stepped up, to be fair. I think they brought in quite a few players this year.
Okay.
They've got a striker from Willesden that was playing for Willesden. What's his name? Got Billy Waters, who's born in Epsom.
Go on, Billy.
He scored 20 in 44 for Halifax last year. So he knows where the goal is. Maybe at a lower level, but yeah, they've got some good... They've got some decent players. Got a kid on loan from Chelsea. I think it's going to be tougher than I actually thought it was going to be.
No. If we're good enough, you've got to imagine if we've got aspirations to be decent, that we've got to be winning this game, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree. So I'm just looking at another player they've got. They signed a player from Woking, Solomon Nwabuoke. I can't pronounce it.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay. Your pronunciation's improved, is it?
Yeah. You can tell. But yeah, I think you're right. As I was saying earlier, I think something special is happening at the club. We have to be then at home looking at getting 3 points against. But would you take a point now?
No.
Or we have to get 3 points?
I wouldn't take a point now, because I feel that if we play the game as well as we have been, particularly against Crawley, and the form that we've got up front, I feel like we've got more than enough chance of winning it. You normally take a draw if you're like, oh, crikey, there's a decent chance we're not going to get a good result. I feel like against them, I would back us to do really, really well. But my only concern is with those sort of horrible northern teams, they're always packed with loads of massive blokes and they're horrible around the box. But personally, I feel like we've got enough about us. But it's a big game on the fact that, like I said, as I said before, with the home, we were so poor last year. We need to make Plough Lane a bit of a fortress. Having looked at the other grounds, our ground is just as good as anyone else. I mean, Mansfield, I didn't realise, only had 3 sides.
I didn't know. I forgot. They used to have 4-1 stain.
Got 3 sides.
Yeah, man.
And it's a new one, Field Mill. So I was kind of like, oh, right, this is interesting. They had literally 1, 2, 3 and nothing on the left. And it looked like they had like some old terracing. But it was just like literally boarded up.
When you look at
the grounds that are in the league and the number of people who are coming, we're going to be up there as one of the better grounds to go to and one of the busier ones.
Well, the thing is, Barrow will bring, what, 100, 200 down if max, and they won't fill up
good
their way
they
in.
Did.
And I've got to say, well done to the club. The club sent out a leaflet to local residents saying that if they brought this leaflet in with a letter with their home address on, that they get 2 free tickets to the game against Barrow, because obviously we're going to... It'd be a lower attendance because there won't be as many away fans. I'd like to know how they're going to do the segregation in that way. And I'm guessing you might have to come from the east stand and then go into that stand. and then they'll just rope it off, and then they'll use the back, Barrow will use the back of the away end for their food and drink, and then Wimbledon fans will have to come into the east stand to get their food and drink.
I've not seen the ground with anyone but the away fans behind that goal.
Same.
So it'll be interesting to see whether
that must be where they're going to be putting the free tickets. I have to, because most of the other areas in the ground are all seen to goalless.
Unless they've had no take up at all in the other areas.
I can't see it. I can see the East Stand being a little bit quieter, but I still think the way we're playing at the moment, the results that we're getting, I still think people are going to turn up. Not much.
It's a bold call, though. Like I said, I think it's a really good thing to do, and it'll be, I guess, if you're two relatively new fans, you're not exactly going to kick off with Barrow. And you can't, maybe Barrow have got a good press where they're like, you know what, we can just put a row of stewards or put like one of them sheets down and away you everyone's okay.
Well, that's why I think they'll be in. And the only thing you've got against us on Saturday is Chelsea are at home. So that may be local residents who go watch Chelsea might go, oh, look, if Chelsea are away, we might get more people coming down to do it. But I still think it's a brilliant thing from the club. We do give the club stick, but yeah, we'll give the club credit on this occasion, because I think to get more people coming down to Plough Lane and going, if we can, as you said earlier, when you go to your first game, what's important to you, and hopefully the atmosphere, the bar, the food, and then we'll put a performance on the pitch, people might go, actually, if my club I do support are away, I'll go watch Wimbledon at Plough Lane.
I just love the fact that we as a club could potentially be giving somebody their very, very first experience of a lifelong love of theirs, potentially. Do you know what I mean? That's what I love about those sort of free ticket things, is someone could go along to that and be like a mate of mine. A big shout out to, I'm a bit of a romantic, but big shout out to my mate Dave, who's just had a little baby boy, Jack. And he was talking about cricket, and we were talking about how he got involved with cricket. And he basically said that at his school, a guy from Kent came to the cricket and came to his school, did a cricket session, gave him a ticket. And since that point, he was like, wow, this bloke gave me a ticket. He went with his dad to the cricket, and he's liked them ever since. And it's like, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but just it's amazing, those little small gestures, which is the reason why clubs do it, but how that can manifest into a lifelong fan who could put thousands into it, kids, generations. I think it's, a fair play. If, you know, if you're going to pick a game to do it, Barrow at home seems like a good one. Start to the season. Nice, hopefully sunny day. Get a band on. That's what I wonder, whether they can put bands on it, you know, AFC after the game. Do they do that?
I reckon they could. I don't know if they've done it yet, but I reckon.
Not the Lee Finch band, no? You on the drums?
I'm not very good musical, to be fair.
I'm fantastic.
Talk about cricket. Cricket's good for narcolepsy, isn't it? If you've got narcolepsy, go watch the cricket.
What, if you're struggling to sleep, or if you can't, you constantly fall asleep? Yeah, cricket keeps you awake. Is that exciting, yeah?
No, because then you could just go to sleep with the cricket.
So you mean if you're an insomniac?
That's what most people do.
Yeah, not narcolepsy means you can't keep your eyes open. Then you go to cricket to get excited, yeah? Don't try and beat me a word war, Lee. You're not going to win. You can't even pronounce Davison, for God's sake. Have a day off.
Mate, Spanish. He's Spanish, isn't he? Half Spanish. Was born in Mallorca.
I've always said that.
But I was trying to be funny there, and it didn't pay off. But I do think the club are doing something good. And yeah, I think, as I said, I've always bigged up Plough Lane because it is brilliant. It's just an amazing place to go. And the local area is brilliant to go drinks and food and stuff like that. So,
well, next week, Lee, I think is Plough Lane the best ground in League Two? That will be a little conversation starter, maybe. Give you some time to have a look at.
Well, my missus' birthday is coming up soon.
Going to Plough Lane.
Plough Lane, yeah.
Do you know what? Mrs. Baker's not been to Plough Lane yet. Everyone else seems to have been. She's not been.
Take her, mate. It's a good place to go for.
To be fair, she just shouted into, we've got a sign in the toilet, which we have. Welcome to Plough Lane.
Well, mate, I think it's a good place to take a date and stuff like that. Really do.
She'll love that on her anniversary.
You're struggling. No, yeah, but get her a My Pie.
Get her a My Pie. Yeah, she'll love that.
Because I'm still waiting for my My Pie, so.
Yeah, Christmas is coming up, isn't it?
You still ain't paid for your bet at, so yeah.
Times are hard,
disappointing that, but.
Well, it's hard with that queue, knowing which pie you want.
Do you know what I mean?
And also, you're in the rough end. I'm in with all the football analysis. So coming in Saturday, what's the score?
2-1 Wimbledon.
Yeah, I'm 2-0, I think. I think this is, if we win Saturday, this is a great little period for us, and looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be good. And our section will probably be a bit boring on Saturday now because Barrow won't bring any. He'll probably be right in the far corner.
Surprised any of you lot will turn up then, really, if you can't throw bottles or pens at each other.
No, don't throw bottles. They take the lid off you. And the reason why they do that, have you heard that? The reason why they take the lid off you?
No.
It's not to actually stop chucking. Sam Elliott said this on a Sunday debrief a couple of weeks ago. It's actually for health and safety, because if you've got a bottle and it's got the lid up, it's harder to crush and people slip over on it and can fall. But if it hasn't got the bottle on it, you put it on the floor. If you go to slip on it, you'll crush it and you don't slip over and fall over.
Can I be honest with you? That can't be right.
It is right, actually. Fact of the day, that. We'll leave it there with the fact of the day.
I'll be listening. If I'm available Sunday, which I am, I'm going to, hopefully Sam will be there and I will be questioning him on this.
Finchie facts, or Sam.
Finchie's facts of the day.
Not, yeah, it won't really minus Sam's, but I've stolen it.
I've got to come up with a fact now for next week.
But yeah, as you said, we'll be back on Sunday. The Sunday debrief will return at 7:30. We'll be going through everything that happens against Barrow. Get involved, people, because it is becoming. We had a couple. Do you hear it with the Americans on Sunday?
I was listening. I actually took part, which was bizarre for me.
But the Americans, they come on. They're very good.
Yeah, stateside, loving
Aggie
it.
And Stephen, very good, very good. But yeah, we'll see. I'll see you. We might see you on Saturday.
Barrel, barrel, barrel.
Come on,
you
Dons.
Dons, and we've got the barrel.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Wombles Dream and on Facebook at the Wombles Had a Dream. Get involved. By the fans, for the fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.